In the name of Jesus, amen. Unto you this night is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Amen. It's fair to say that when we ponder the night of our Lord's holy birth, we tend to think of it as being serene and calm, even crystallized like a lot of our nativity sets. But we don't think that because the Bible tells us that it was an abnormally noiseless night our Lord came to earth. The Bible actually is silent regarding the solemnity of the night of our Lord's birth. We tend to think this way because that is the mood that is conveyed by the hymns that we cherish so much that we sing tonight. A little town of Bethlehem, it came upon a midnight clear, and our final hymn, Silent Night. Now, in fairness to those hymns, I don't think that their authors were trying to add to the Word of God. They're not asserting silence or somberness as historical fact. Rather, they're using silence as a poetic tool, a way to show how every other care and concern recedes into the background in that precious moment that God's Son becomes flesh for us, bone of our bone, blood of our blood, and for our salvation. Indeed, in one respect, it is a beautiful thing to meditate on the metaphorical silence of the night of Christ's holy birth. But it's also important for us to consider the brokenness that Christ was born into that night and how his birth is the hope and the peace and the salvation of all of us, of all men. And one place to start this honest reflection tonight is with the history of this Lessons and Carols service, one in which I did not really know a whole lot of the history until tonight. Long ago, in 1880, a man by the name of Edward White Benson took from ancient sources this little Christmas Eve service. But then later, about 30 years later, in 1918, a 34-year-old Anglican priest named Eric Milner White, a military chaplain, was appointed as the dean of King's College in Cambridge, England. And when he had come home from the First World War, he adapted that earlier order from Benson to communicate a message of God's love to those who have been brutalized and traumatized by the war. This proved especially meaningful to the town of Cambridge, which had lost 211 men alone from the college. Many of those who took part in those first Lessons and Carols services surely recalled those killed in the Great War. And they resonated with the bidding prayer's language as it calls us to remember those who rejoice with us, but upon another shore and in a greater light. So yes, we are bidden this night to go in heart and mind even unto Bethlehem. But we do so, as White clearly recognized, not undisturbed and not without affliction and cross. For all of us who hear God's tale of love woven through scripture and song are sinners lost in darkness. At times we dare not even pray, unable to see the light of God because of the atrocities that are witnessed by our eyes and by the suffering that breaks our hearts and our souls. Tonight, all of us, in one way or another, are burdened by our own flesh and by the flesh of our neighbors. We have betrayed and been betrayed. We have hurt and we have been hurt. We have sinned and we have been sinned against. And with frustration and annoyance, nonetheless, we try to build a world of peace and goodwill towards men. But as we build, we tear down, and as we love, we fight, and as we comfort, we curse. And the result is only more darkness and more sin and more strife. But here is the Christmas Eve miracle. Here is the Christmas Eve truth and the wonderful reality of tonight. No man finds God. No man finds his love. Rather, God becomes man, finds man, and then he loves man. God breathes into himself man's sin and death, and then he breathes out for man forgiveness, life, and salvation. That is the Christmas miracle in a nutshell. Because in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born in the flesh, to be Emmanuel, God with us, so that we know that we are not alone in this life. That the Son was sent forth by the Father to give his life as a ransom for many. He comes from the bosom of the Father to bring this glorious gospel. The baby in the manger is literally God in the flesh, born in time to rescue us who have lost all hope or are struggling to believe. For we who are hopeless to find God's love and his mercy and his salvation, receive it all tonight in that holy infant that is wrapped not only in swaddling cloths, but also in our very flesh. And tonight is just the beginning. It's not the end. Jesus is born in Bethlehem. You know this. But he's not going to stay there. He will go to Calvary, and he will crush the ancient serpent's head as promised in Genesis chapter 3. And he will rescue all people from their sins by his sacrificial life and death. For that is his name, Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. And so Christmas, Good Friday, and Easter are all wrapped together tonight into one ginormous present of God's love. As you sang tonight, nails, spears shall pierce him through, the cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. Jesus was never meant to stay in the manger, and you are not meant to stay in this world. You see, the light that dawns on you in Christ's birth tonight will be brought to completion when you know the fullness of that greater light in heaven. You understand this mystery only by faith as Christians, not born of the will of man, not born of blood, but born of God. And in that way, Christmas for you tonight is more than just emotion, more than just sentiment, and more than just simply silence. It is joy now, even in this world, to know that your Savior has come in your flesh to rescue you and to give you salvation. It is also peace and comfort and perfection later when he comes again in glory to take you from this valley of sorrow to himself in paradise. So rejoice this night, for it is filled with the singing of all God's saints, a multitude that no one can number, and yes, in a greater and more glorious light than all the candles in the world. They are with you and you are with them because of this holy child of Bethlehem. Yes, there is much to be sad about in our life and in our world. It is not the way that life should be. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. But he never takes away himself, which is to say, Jesus is born. Jesus was crucified. Jesus rose from the dead. Your hope then is in the Word made flesh, and he will never disappoint you, that Word made flesh. So abide in his lessons, abide in his unwavering love, and sing the carols of his comfort and his peace. For the day of glory is nearer than we have first believed. Merry Christmas. Amen.